Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. We are doing Mishnayot Beitzah, and we are up to the second chapter, the fourth Mishnah. And the discussion of the Mishnah is twofold. A, which sacrifices may be brought on Yom Tov, on the holiday itself. And secondly, the discussion is about a certain act that the Torah tells us must be performed with each korban, and that act is called simicha. Simicha literally means to lean on. And the Torah tells us that when we bring certain sacrifices, we have to lean on them. The two sacrifices we will be discussing tonight are the shlamim and the ola. Shlamim comes from the word shalem, whole. It is the sacrifice that in a certain sense is whole, in that it's not brought over sin, and it is brought, part of it is burnt before Hashem on the altar, part of it goes to the owner, and part of it goes to the kohen. Everyone gets a piece. So that's why it's one understanding as to why it is called shilamim, the whole sacrifice, the sacrifice where everyone gets a part of the sacrifice. The other sacrifice our Mishnah will be discussing is the Ola sacrifice. And Ola comes from the word Ole, go up. The whole sacrifice goes up. All gets burnt. Okay? So now, the question is, what may one bring on Yom Tov? We know that on Yom Tov, we may slaughter animals for the purpose of eating them on Yom Tov. That's part of what's permitted on Yom Tov that is prohibited on Shabbat. So Beit Shammai Omrim, we're already accustomed to this style that Beit Shammai is always the first opinion in the Mishnah. And are Beit Shammai going to be lenient or stringent? They're going to be
stringent.
The rule is, there are exceptions to the rule, but the rule is that Beit Shammai always has the more stringent opinion. So Beit Shammai say, Nevi'in Shlamim v'Yom Tov, we may bring the Shlamim sacrifice on Yom Tov, because you're going to eat that meat. Just like you could slaughter meat that you're going to eat at home, you're allowed to slaughter a Shlamim sacrifice which you will eat. Then somechin aleihen, but one may not lean on them, for our sages prohibited leaning on live animals. They prohibited the use of live animals. The Torah prohibits work with animals. Torah says you're not allowed to have your animal work on Shabbat, right? You're not even allowed to lend him to a non-Jew to do work on Shabbat. The sages extended that to any use of live animals, including leaning on them. That's where the discussion comes in about petting an animal, about walking an animal. So we have a mitzvah when we bring a shlamim sacrifice to lean on the animal before we sacrifice it. Why is a question that I have a hard time answering. When we learn Vayikra, we could discuss certain understandings our sages gave us, such as that the animal represents us and we put our weight on it.
Okay.
So one understanding that Chazal tell us is that the korban is in place of us. So we place our weight on it. But there are many understandings. At any rate,
but this is shlamim, it's not for
right.
Sin. That's why.
Right. Okay. It's a good question. We do have a mitzvah in the Torah of a samach that a person has to lean his hands on the animal. You put your full weight on that. Now on Yom Tov, that would be rabbinically prohibited. So Beis Shammai say, tell you what, do it before Yom Tov. Do it on the eve of Yom Tov. Beis Hillel are of the opinion that the leaning has to be directly before slaughtering the animal, before Shechita. So that wouldn't be a viable solution according to Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say, nah, you could do it a day before. So Beis Shammai say you could bring a shlamim sacrifice, but you may not do smicha, you may not lean on it on Yom Tov. Aval olot, nor may you bring ola sacrifices other than those that the Torah says you must bring on Yom Tov. Torah says you bring an ola every morning and every night of the year. Every morning and every night, including Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, every day. That's a tumin. Corresponding to that, our sages instituted morning and afternoon prayer. So the opinion of Beishamai is you may only bring a sacrifice that you're going to eat from, the Shlamim of Yom Tiv, and you may not lean on it before Yom Tiv. Till here we're together? Fairly simple, yeah?
Whereas on now, you don't eat for me.
So wait with the Olah, bring the Olah tomorrow. Uvetilelo merim, they still all say, Mevi'in shlamim ve'olo. You may bring the shlamim to celebrate the holiday, that's okay. And the Torah says, when you come to the temple, bring a sacrifice in honor of the fact that we're seeing one another again. That's called an olas re'iyah, the olah that's brought because you are being seen before God again. And we say every morning in the Mishnah, Eilu dvarim she'en lehem shiur. What are they? Hapeah, v'bikurim, v'ra'ayon. What's re'ayon? Re'ayon is the sighting. What's the sighting? That's the sacrifice that we bring because we're being seen by God again. We're again coming to the temple where we bring sacrifice. So that's one of the things that has no limit. You want to bring one, you bring one. You want to go again, bring another one. Throughout the regal, you could bring as many as you want. So Beis Hillel say, the Shlomim in honor of Yom Tiv and the Ola may be brought on Yom Tiv. V'somechin alehen. And we do lean on them because they learn that it must be near one another. The smicha must be directly before the shechita. And as such, this is permitted. Okay, for now, that's enough of an understanding. There's more to discuss, but we'll leave that for the next time. Okay, this is derived from psukim. Different derivations, how you derive what's permitted and what's prohibited. Okay. Next Mishnah. You guys want to know one more concept? Yeah? Okay. So, want to know two more concepts? We'll do two more. We know that the Torah tells us, Ushmartem et mishmati. Watch my watching. I gave you something to watch over you. I gave you a Torah. It's going to watch over you. Ushmartem et mishmati. You watch my watching. What does that mean? That the rabbis have a responsibility to make institutions to ensure that we can keep up with the Torah. So if the Torah says, don't write on Shabbos, let's skip Shabbos, just a second. So if the Torah says you're not allowed to shave the corners of your face with a razor, the rabbi said, don't put a razor to your face altogether. Today we don't even know where the corners are, where they begin, where they end, so you can't do it because you don't know when you're transgressing biblically. If the Torah said, what's another example? The Torah said, read Shema at night. The rabbi said, get it done by midnight. To ensure that you'll get it done. If you keep delaying it, you'll miss it. You'll end up falling asleep without doing it. So do it as soon as you can. Ushmatim et mishmati. You watch my watching. I gave you the Torah to watch over you. You watch that Torah. The rabbis have to make an institution. The Torah tells us, with regard to Shabbat, there's a special mitzvah. And that is that with regard to Shabbat, the rabbis have a special mitzvah to make institutions surrounding Shabbat. And these institutions we derive from the fact that the Torah reinstates, I want you to rest. From here, the rabbis derived Shavuot, that God wanted the rabbis to institute institutions of resting on Shabbos. And because it stems from that derivation of Shavuot, I want you to rest beyond what I've told you in the Torah, and the rabbis have to define it. So we call all rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos, we call them the prohibitions of Shvut or Shvot. I want you to rest. Okay? Concept number one. We're okay. Let's not do that. That's concept number one. That Shvut, we have Isurei Shvut, rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbat are called Isurei Shvut. Till here we're together? Okay. Concept number two. En Shvut b'mikdash. What does that mean, Yosef? Oh, even though the rabbis say all kinds of things that are prohibited for us to do anywhere other than the temple, in the temple, in the service of Hashem, there the rabbi said, you kohanim, you don't have to do the rabbinic prohibitions that will get in your way of doing the avodah. So far, so good?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who can do the next step and connect this to our mission?
I didn't hear. The Ola offerings at Yom Tov.
The Ola offerings on Yom Tov, yeah.
So they're obviously burning stuff and whatever. I'm assuming that also applies for Yom Tov and stuff.
Well, they show smicha.
Oh, I was headed where he's headed. Smicha, that what? We said smicha is prohibited rabbinically. The rabbi said, yeah, but you have to do smicha right adjacent with the shechita. So the only problem is that it doesn't say that this falls under that jurisdiction of En Shvut B'Mikdash. All the commentaries don't seem to say that the reason that Hillel permitted is because of this rule. They seem to say that technically this should fall under the prohibition, but in this case the rabbis didn't prohibit it. They seem to make it its own institution. That would explain Beis Shammai. Seems like Beis Hillel is saying the Chiddush here. According to the rule of En Shvut B'Mikdash, the question is, where is Beis Shammai coming from? Why is it prohibited? So I don't know the answer to that. I want to share with you what I don't know. Okay, let's go on. Mishnah Hey. You ready? No, it was important to me that you know these concepts. These are concepts for all of Shas, for all of Talmud. So now you have three important concepts. Rabbinic institutions, Shmotem Mishmoti. Rabbinic institutions of Shabbos are Shvot, and then Shvut Mamikdash. But in the temple, we don't have those when they get in the way of the service of the temple. Mm-hmm. Okay, Mishnah Hey. Wow, you guys. Wow. Okay. Bet Shammai Umheim. Oh, you're learning so much in 5 minutes. Bet Shammai Umheim. Lo yachem adam chamin leraglav. You want to heat up hot water to bathe your feet? You can't do that on Yom Tov. Unless it's waters that you could drink potentially. They're clean before you put your feet into it. Uvet ilal matirin, and they say, no, you can heat up hot water for your feet. For your feet. What's the idea? Everyone needs to bathe their feet at some point during the day. We don't all have time to do it, but everyone enjoys it. And we know that the Torah permitted us to light a fire for the sake of food on Yom Tov. We could transfer a fire, not light a fire. We could take a fire that's lit and expand it and use it for heating our food, cooking on Yom Tov, right? This is where Yom Tov is more lenient than Shabbat. Beis Hillel say, Mi Toch. You guys ready? Take your thumb and go like this. Mi Toch. What does Mi Toch mean? Mi Toch means out of the fact that the Torah permitted us to light the fire for food, we also learn that you could light it for other things that are ochel nefesh, that the average person enjoys, but it must be something the average person enjoys. Meaning, if you want to go to Taiwan and get some kind of incense that you smoke that no one appreciates until they've been doing it for 30 years. So then we say you can't burn that on Yom Tov. It's not something the average person enjoys. What about smoking? So that some opinions say, look, you have to develop a taste. The average person doesn't like smoking off the bat. So that's prohibited on Yom Tov. Other opinions say, no, look at how many people like it. You can't say the average person doesn't like it. So other opinions say it's permitted on Yom Tov. What about showering? So everyone enjoys a shower, but the question is it something that only the spoiled, pampered people do, or is it something that the masses really do every day and they enjoy? So we say it's something only spoiled, pampered people do, to take a hot shower. Yeah? I don't know what's about you, but I've had many chavrutot who did not shower, not every day, and not every other day, and not every third day, but more like once a week.
No.
Really?
No? Maybe less, you're right. And on our Shabbos,
I
try to
get it. Every second day.
Yeah. I think what I'm trying to do every day, maybe, and most of them, every other day. So, and that's like, okay. If I cannot get it that day.
So today, to wash off your feet, that's something which everyone would do without water. So we're talking about a different norm in their days. What would be the law today? So when we learn halacha, we'll have to break our heads over that. We're learning Mishnah, not halacha. So Beis Shammai say you cannot heat up water for your feet unless they're fit for drinking, and you'll drink a little bit, you'll have a nice cup of tea, you take a sip, and then you bathe your feet.
The point is consumption.
according to Beis Shammai. But we need Beis Hillel. Allah is always like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel, Matirim. Beis Hillel say, Mitoch, the big thumb, Mitoch, if you're allowed to heat it for food. So out of that, we also learn you're permitted for anything else that's like food that the average person feels is something that they benefit from that they would do. If it's something that all the pampered people get to do it, but the average person doesn't bother doing it on an average day, so then that would not fall under this category. A person can make himself a big barn fire and heat himself up next to it, even though he's not eating anything. What's he using? He's using the fire to heat himself. If the Torah permitted us to expand the fire for the sake of cooking, that includes expanding a fire also for personal body heat. That's also something that the average person needs and enjoys. Okay, let's summarize the two Mishnayot we saw today.
Difference.
Between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Yeah,
sure.
Okay, difference number one. We saw Mishnah Dalit, Beis Shammai. It's not Shammai, right? It's Beis Shammai, it's the academy. They say you may not bring in all the sacrifice and you may not lean on the sacrifice. Beis Hillel say you could not only bring Shlomim, like Beis Shammai said, but also Ola, and you may lean on it, you may do Smicha. Beis Shammai saying Mishnah, hey, you could only heat up water if it's fit for drinking, and you're going to drink some. Beis Hillel say, no, once you're permitted to expand the fire for food, you're also permitted for other things as well. And the Mishnah concluded with the halacha that one may expand a bonfire for the sake of heat, because that's also considered a basic need, a basic pleasure that every person needs. Okay?
Question on the language.